Hello and welcome to another edition of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I wanted to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers at the end of the week and the end of our ropes, and really, we love our jobs, but we want to be able to talk openly and honestly. So we use pseudonyms to remain anonymous, hence the Elvis. I'd like to start by giving a special thank you to all of our Patreon donors. We have a few new ones this week. We have Catherine S., Perla C., Kelsey W., RJR, Cara T., Kristen C., Amanda T., Johanna H., Tony N., Christina K., Irma A., Rebecca J., Melissa M., Lisa S., Casey B., and Sarah N. That's right, for as little as $5, you can become a Patreon of Teacher Needs a Drink, get lots of extra bonus episodes every month, specials, interviews with the host, you get to talk directly, you get to play Among Us in special servers, and this week, if you're a Patreon member, you get to hear us review The Faculty, where, you know, we talk about The Faculty, because it's a funny movie from the late 1990s, and it's horror, and it's Halloween, so you get to hear all of our opinions. It's going to be awesome. And it's as low as $5. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is also sponsored by Ludlam Dramatics. If you are a theater teacher or know a theater teacher in your building, send them to ludlamdramatics.com. They have lots of theater resources, educational theater posters, guides like how to behave in the audience, what are the parts of stage, what does the show must go on mean, what's the gypsy rope, what is a drama llama? I don't know, it doesn't make sense, but they got lots of crap about Lin-Manuel Miranda and people just love him right now. So send your theater teachers there, and for as little as $5 or $7 or whatever they're charging for posters, you can get one. If you have a story or something you'd like to share with us here at Teacher Needs a Drink, you can go to our website, teacherneedsdrinkpodcast.com, and hit us up through the contact page or tag us on Instagram or Facebook. And really, folks, the last thing, if you'd really like to support us but don't want to spend money and don't want to buy the swag from our website, you can just tell one person in your building about the podcast. Tell them something you've heard, because really, that's the easiest thing. You can subscribe, you can leave reviews, you can be a Patreon member, you can buy the shot glass and the koozie and all the fun stuff off our website. Really, just find one person and tell them. And remember, you are not alone out there. There are lots of teachers who feel like you. Enjoy this episode 57! I shouldn't have taught you that one. You shouldn't refer to your mom's boob job as turkey tits, but... I laughed, and we all laughed. So. And welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today, I have Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Hi, Elvis.
Hey, lady. And also joining us tonight before her lovely date with her husband, Miss Lucy Elaine.
We've come for your daughter, Chuck.
And also today, we have Miss Shirley Dumper.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. I'll do you in the bottom while you're drinking sangria.
Well, my friends, it has been another interesting week in purgatory, and what's really crazy is before, like, when we were doing this over the summer, I felt like we were kind of the bitchy teachers, but I feel like now, I'd say about a good 85% of the teachers out there are kind of done or overwhelmed or drowning or just kind of come to the realization that this isn't really working the way it's supposed to work.
Fried's
a great word for it. Mm-hmm. And there's like several times this week where I literally almost snapped at a kid. There was one student, like I've had a couple more kids drifting back in that haven't been in school for a while. And I work with some of the younger kids, mostly like elementary level. And this is older, you know, like the 8, 9, 10 range. But I kids, like while we're talking, would just kind of get up and start adjusting stuff on the board or wandering around. I had one kid in the middle of our lesson stop me and say, hey, can you hold on and pause for a minute? Because I need to go get a Band-Aid from the nurse. I was like, what? He's like, no, I got a paper cut earlier. I was like, no, I think that can wait. No, it's going to get infected. I have to do it. I was like, no, just sit. Let's do this lesson. And so I'm doing the lesson and I'm trying to stream a video to my kids who are at home at the same time. And we're watching a thing on Edgar Allan Poe because, you know, that's that time of year. Mm-hmm. And then one of the kids like, hey, stop, pause the movie, pause. And so I paused the stream because it's a small group. There's only like, you know, 12 kids or something in this group. I was like, hey, what's going on? Was everything okay? He's like, yeah, you've got like this thing at the bottom of your screen where like it just showed like the last file I had downloaded and like had an X. He goes, can you X that out? It's really, really bothering me.
Oh no.
I was like, no. Oh, I said, you really just disrupted the whole lesson. Please do not do that again. But it's really, I was like, no, I'm going to leave it up. And at that point, I mean, I guess I could have X'd out, but I was kind of like, no, I'm going to be a dick now.
No.
You interrupted my lesson. and we're moving on. But this other kid would just start getting up and I'd have to clap, like literally like at a cat or a dog, like, no, stop, 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 sit down. Because that was only because I could say this child's name 100 times. And I love this child. I really do. There's not like a mischievous bone, but there's no but I think throughout this child's life, he's heard his name called out so many times that it's kind of lost meaning.
Background noise.
I think it really is, because I mean, I think so many people to try to get the attention to stop the student. So I literally was like, stop, stop, stop. And then at one point, we were in a different part of the building. We're working on a project. And it was one where each child was recording themselves for like a presentation for next week. And so you'd have to be quiet and just watch. And I kind of, the students started getting into things that they didn't need to get into. So I was like, hey, put that down. No, he was doing it before. I was like, no, no, please stop. No, you just ruined this whole video. And I have to have this kid stop because you just yelled. Oh my God. And like, I it was just one of those moments where I was like, I'm glad, like I would never hit a student, but I need you to go to the other side of the room. We're running out of time and we're going to start this over. And I'm just going to take a deep breath over here for a moment. But this isn't, that's not me. That's not, this is not my normal me. I'm like, something is very, very off. And I don't believe it's me that's off. I think it's just the year and the school that I'm like, I think because of these different and extreme situations we're in as a teacher, I'm finding myself just not doing my best work or just not reacting with the enthusiasm or joy that I normally could bring or be able just to brush stuff off. Because, you know, after 9 or 10 weeks of this bullshit and none of it's changing or it's kind of even getting worse in some situations, I'm kind of losing my shit a little bit.
So what you're saying is you've come to your realization. Like you realize it, like it's here, it's manifest itself. Is that what you're saying? Like you've reached that point.
I think so. Cause you know, obviously we've been talking about this for a long time, how this is not a normal school year. But I think this is the first time we're like, holy shit, I'm kind of losing it a bit. Miss Bunny, how are you doing?
Most of the week actually went pretty well. Shout out to Teachers Pay Teachers, man. I bought a new unit off of that. Like, I had an idea of something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't quite sure how to structure it. And so I bought a unit plan off of that. And oh my gosh, it's been going great. Like, the kids have been really engaged and they're really enjoying it. And I was like, yeah, this is great. This is great. And then today, like, right at the end of the day, three little things kind of all in a row happened. And I don't know if it was just like the buildup of little stress from the whole week, like what we've been saying before, but I cried for maybe only the second time since school started. Like I have been holding it together pretty well and just, you know, eating my feelings or something. But today I was just like, I got an email that a kid is being moved into my class for 9 weeks and then they're going to change a schedule again. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm a babysitter. Cool.
Yeah.
They're not expecting them to actually like do anything. I'm just babysitting. I got an email about another mandatory online training thing that we have to do. I'm like, it is late October. Come on. The list of parents, like you were saying, that I need to call because their kids have not done anything. And I was just kind of like, okay, I'm done. I'm over it for the week. Enough adulting for today. I'm going to go eat queso and cuddle my cat.
Amen. Queso definitely came in handy this week.
Queso is Texan comfort food. Like, what do people in other parts of the country honestly eat when they've had shitty days? Because
oh my God, I found out that in Alabama they call it cheese dip.
Ew. Well, Alabama has enough close to the South that you can get it, but there's a point where you don't eat the kind of Tex-Mex Mexican food. Like, there's almost, it's not the Mason-Dixon line, but I really, outside of like taquerias or outside of Texas, I really don't get it because it's not good. It's regret. Like, my son really wanted it when we were in Colorado. I was like, dude, you don't get Mexican food in Colorado. It's just, no, let's try that. I was like, oh, it was ass. It was so ass. But like, I was reading a thing about New Yorkers hearing about queso for the first time. I'm like, you never even had like Rotel and Velveeta, like not even the basics.
Yeah.
But that's the one good thing to come out of this pandemic is a lot more of the better restaurants will DoorDash, so you can get like really good queso and tacos and crap just delivered. Yeah, I'm going to get fatty, fat, fat. Lucille, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I mean, this was my first week of in-person learning. And my very first day, literally within 2 hours of being at school, I had a child removed because they had possible exposure.
So within hours?
Within 2 hours of me being at school. So that day was not good.
No.
It all turned out okay at the end. I had to come home. I literally sat down, wrapped a blanket around me, and stared at the walls. Because I was like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just need to just try to relax. And this week was the longest week of my life, I felt like. But I made it. I'm here. I don't know.
We're glad you made it. We're glad you're here.
Maybe next week's going to be better. And that's a big shrug that I'm doing right now. But that was that's about it. That wraps it up about how my week went.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How are you doing, Shirley?
It's been a really long week. like us all. I've cried twice at my desk this week, and I don't cry, do I, Bunny?
No.
Your boy does not cry, and it was just stress. I gave a lot of incompletes as opposed to just flat out zeros to all, you know, to my 12 students who hadn't turned anything in. And I called all the parents and I did all the things and I received work from exactly one student. And so just the stress of that and, you know, having to do all the grade change forms, and they did streamline it and it's a Google form now. So it's, you know, it's a little bit more straightforward, but some of those kids have paperwork, so failing them is just like TEA red flag scary time.
Yeah.
And so there was that. You know, my kids primarily are pretty chill. I have a random study hall class, a freshman that I don't teach. And today, one sweet little baby was like, "Hey, miss, can I go to the bathroom?" And I look up and I say, "Yeah, you have to leave your phone. You're not wearing a mask." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, it's over there."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "I'm going to need you to keep that on your face at all times." Or he's like, "I'm not sick." I was like, No. I didn't ask you. I'm telling you, put your mask on, keep it on your face." And he rolled his eyes at me and I was like, "Yeah, hey, honey, I'm not the one. So you're going to want to check that."
Yeah.
But it was so funny because I was mad. But then another part of me was like, I'm also alive. Because I do enjoy obliterating a mouthy freshman who thinks that because I'm a woman, they're better than me.
I do. I would like to buy popcorn and a soda and watch that show.
But it did give me that, "Oh, this dance, it's been so long." But then it was slightly marred because the guy put his mask on and he left, and the girl who sits next to him, she was like, "He's so stupid, I'm sorry." I was like, "Well, if you're gonna be so kind, it's gonna kill my righteous vengeance buzz, but okay."
But you know, she probably wanted somebody to tell him. And you were the person to do that. So
yeah.
I'm sure she feels grateful.
That's true. I've had a lot of students that are very, very concerned about masks and want everyone to have masks on all the time. Like they have their very own, concerns and fears, just like us, about catching it. So while I know there are some kids who are complete idiots or don't care, it's whatever. There are some that I've had them like, "Hey," like they'll message me in class, like, "Hey, can you tell so-and-so to put their mask on?" And then I had a girl in class, I said we were making videos, and so I let them go literally to another room, record the video, and she came, I was like, "Hey, put your mask on." "Oh my gosh, I'm so, so sorry." And she like started panicking and coming. I was like, "Oh, sweetheart, you're okay. Just go get it real quick and put it on.
That's totally fine.
No harm, no foul." But that kind of opened my eyes, because in my head, I've I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I've kind of lumped a lot of the kids in with, I'd rather not, I don't care about it. or that kind of philosophy, because I have a lot of students who are very openly, obviously don't care. They're smug, they're young, they have no fear or whatever. That's
they're hearing it at home is what,
And I think that's part of it. And also, I mean, when I was a kid, I was a bit of an asshole too. So, I mean, I understand that to some extent, but it also makes me appreciate the students who, I mean, I don't want to call them hypochondriacs because they're not, but the students who actually do have empathy and are concerned and care. And so I was like, oh, that made me feel a lot better. Just you exhibiting signs of humanity. The other thing that's kind of caught my attention is the politicalization about teachers being unhappy about being at school. We had some trolls on the Teacher Needs a Drink Facebook page in the comments.
Yeah, we did.
And what baffled me is some of the follow-up comments was, well, you know, students really need to be back in school. And I was like, I agree 100%. Students do so much better in school. I would love to have all my students in school, but it's not about that. I'm not disagreeing that this is inconvenient. I'm not disagreeing with you that this situation sucks fat balls. But my big thing is that I don't feel that as teachers, we should have to be afraid that we're being political by saying we don't feel safe around some of these kids that we're kind of concerned. Because I think all of us, all the teachers, I mean, I do believe some teachers, and I go back and forth, that are happy when they're teaching virtual and prefer it to be in the classroom. I don't mind doing one or the other. Doing both is difficult. And then doing it while I'm also trying to keep kids from touching each other or just being generally unsafe. It shouldn't be political. It's like, no, I agree with you. I want the kids here. I'm not telling you you need to stay at home with your kids. I don't want to do that either. But come on. You're putting us in an impractical situation, and then you're getting all political when we say we're not content or we don't like it.
I have to agree with you. And the one thing that was brought to my mind when you said that, like I getting some of my kids back, I was actually making so much more progress with these kids in front of me than behind a screen.
But
the thing is like no one can learn and no one can teach if we aren't healthy. The sick can't learn and the sick can't teach. And I just don't understand why we can't come to some kind of agreement on this. And you're right. It's not political. I feel a certain way because people are dying. I feel a certain way because I'm worried about my health. I feel a certain way because the long-term effects are not even, you know, a reality yet. We don't know what's to come. What does that have to do with education? It has to do with how we feel, our safety. I cannot be 100% myself and do my lessons correctly if I'm sick.
What we all know about students and learning, like you, brains and trauma can't learn. Like we all know that it's a Maslow thing. What on earth makes people think that brains and trauma can teach effectively?
Okay, so this is from, remind me where this is from.
This is from the contact page on Teacher Needs a Drink
contact
podcast.
Page. I cannot keep that in my brain hole. Okay. Hey, guys, I have an email from the contact page at Teacher Needs a Drink. Are you ready?
Yay. Ooh, yes.
Yes. This is from AJ. Hi, Ohio teacher here. Oh, my God, Ohio.
What up,
I know, right? I found your podcast a couple of weeks ago and have been listening on my way home every day. I love listening to you and wanted to vent about my fuck tangle that I'm currently experiencing. Fuck tangle! A little background. I have been at my elementary school for about 2 years, teaching fourth grade math and science. I had a baby this past May and only took the summer off. I go back to school. We are only doing face-to-face learning. And find out before school started, a week before school started, that I would be teaching fourth grade ELA and social studies. I was told by my mentor to follow the curriculum that the district had provided many, many years ago. So I started on lesson one and was just getting to know the curriculum when my new principal this year basically goes batshit crazy.
Oh.
She tells me I need to follow the pacing guide that was made last year that does not follow the curriculum district has provided.
What?
The pacing guide is the most bare minimum pacing guide I have ever seen, and following it will double, maybe even triple, my amount of time lesson planning.
Mm. And she has a new baby.
I know. To make matters worse, I was put on an improvement plan last year due to low test scores after only teaching for a year.
Oh, wait. Last year?
You know, the one she was pregnant? Fair?
And the kids weren't even in school? Sorry. Yeah. All right.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. This new principal is having me turn in lesson plans 2 weeks in advance as part of my improvement plan. So the time needed to plan for lessons has been tripled. And being a new mom, I spend pretty much all my planning time pumping for my baby in an office away from my classroom. It just keeps on getting worse too.
Aww.
I met with my principal for pre-observation conference and she basically tore my lesson apart. And I'm supposed to have my formal observation tomorrow.
Aww.
Starting to fear for my job next year and don't know if another school would hire me being on an improvement plan and not having completed the new teacher program that Ohio makes teachers complete.
My heart goes out to you. There's so many things that are red flags that we're shooting up. The first one, before even talking about you were struggling on your second year while being pregnant while a pandemic was going on, like all kinds of shit there.
So this is something that our awesome listeners don't know about me. I was on a teacher improvement plan quite a long time ago, good 6 years ago now. Three principals ago. That's how I measure time these days. Mm-hmm. I had a principal who just wasn't a fan of me and we butted heads about things. It was just personality. And he was one of those principals that he would smile and he would say all the right things. And then he'd have a meeting with you. You'd thought, oh, it's just a, no, it was that type of meeting.
Yeah.
Basically, I had a parent who was unhappy with a decision that I made and went to him and he saw it as his opportunity. And he had been kind of gradually undermining teachers that he didn't like, that had personalities that he found offensive or what have you. And unfortunately, I was pregnant with my daughter. I was 6 months pregnant. Mm. And he told me the board meeting was that night to renew contracts. And he told me at 9 o'clock that morning that I had until 3 o'clock to resign or he would be able to write me a letter of recommendation for my next job.
A little ultimatum.
It was.
That's not fair.
It's not. And here's what I'm going to tell you, AJ. I don't know anything about Ohio. Texas is a right-to-work state. We have some amazing organizations that we are a part of. And what I did, and hopefully since you are on an improvement plan, you've done this too, is I reached out to my organization and they said, no, he can't do that. Mm-hmm. No. And I had the lawyer for my organization. We drafted a plan. Thankfully, I didn't have to do anything. They did put me on a teacher improvement plan for the following year. So I was similarly where you are. I don't teach elementary and I teach a subject that I don't have those amazing hurdles that you have, but I was pumping and having a newborn and not sleeping and being on a teacher improvement plan. And I was lucky. I was able to write it out. That principal was only there for like another year after that. And I was able to get past it. And, you know, looking back at it, you know, 6 years, it wound up being one of those weird things where I was like, okay, so if something like this happens, this is what I do. Something that I started doing as a result of that I've kept doing, and I want to encourage every single teacher out there to do this, is any type of interaction you have with an assistant principal or a principal, positive or negative, open a Google Doc because it will be timestamped. Mm-hmm. Write down the day and the time that person was in your room or called you and a brief transcript over what happened, because it is very difficult to to prove retaliation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're so right. Document, 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 document.
You have to. It is for your safety. And I do that now. It's second nature to me at this point. I have a special email folder where any type of communication that I get one-on-one from an assistant principal, and it could be something incredibly casual, but I just, you know what? I just file it away. I just file it away. And I do everything I can to protect myself.
To tag on to that, I would encourage you, yes, absolutely document the hell out of everything, like Shirley was saying, but I would encourage you to, if possible, make notes on a Google Doc, do so on your phone, because anything that you do on the school computer, they
absolutely
potentially have access to and can access like from the district technology office or whatever. So write it, document it in a place that is not connected to your school network somehow.
Right.
That not many people know about me. Also, I was not renewed after my first year of teaching. Like
what?
No improvement plan, no nothing. They just told me I was not being renewed. Yeah. And at the time I was devastated. Like I had a complete, am I even supposed to be teaching? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Breakdown.
It was, I remember that.
Devastating. Yeah. You were there, you know, but I got a job in another district and I was so much happier there.
Amen.
I stayed in that district for 14 years, and that district is the reason that I am the teacher I am today.
And I would say, AJ, it's not you, it's them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
For sure.
And just to be safe, I mean, I'm expecting if you still want to teach after this year, because I would completely understand anyone who's a first or second or third year teacher, and they're teaching in this environment of digital and crazy pandemic, and I could 100% empathize and understand anyone who might not want to teach again after this, because it is so batshit crazy. This is not how it is. And this is not really the best situation to learn how to be a teacher, because this is the extreme. But I also feel that because that a lot of teachers are leaving right now and leaving at the end of this year, I don't think they're going to can you, because they're going to be really looking for someone. And if they decide to not renew, there are going to be lots of places that are going to want teachers next year, because they need
teachers.
Them.
Yeah.
And even if you have only 2 or 3 or 4 years of experience, they will be happy to take it, because they're struggling just to find subs right now. And I know many teachers who did not come back. I know many teachers who have left a month or two in, just like, nope, this is not for me. And I've heard a lot of teachers like, you know what? I think I'm going to take early retirement. No, I think I'm going to go ahead and get my real estate license or just anything, or I'm going to go back to school. And that's okay. That's not quitting. That's taking care of yourself. And just because you've done something doesn't mean you need to continue doing it. Hey guys, guess what? We have a Patreon. Yeah, that's right.
Filthy liar.
Yeah, if you guys like hearing us talk about this and people who are going through the same thing you do talk about it, you can get even more. We have lots of bonus episodes that are only available on Patreon, and we have special things we're doing. This coming week, we're watching The Faculty together, you know, the 98 kind of schlocky horror movie from the guy who did Scream, and we're going to have a whole episode where we're just talking about The Faculty and The Faculty, and there's a lot of good faculty in The Faculty. It has Lilith from Cheers and Frasier, and she is hot.
B.B. Newworth.
Yes. You know, also Broadway star. But
yeah,
you know. Not only do we have a Patreon, we also have lots of swag you can get. You could join us at the Teacher Needs a Drink podcast store, and you could either leave a message there that we could read on the air, or you can buy some cool stuff like koozies and bottle openers and all kinds of amazing stuff. So you should do it. Buy it. Go, go, go. Go sign up for Patreon. You won't regret it. There are lots of bonus and cool things you can get on there. Yay!
It's like OnlyFans.
This person is your coworker. Your desks are adjacent, but your office relationship is cordial and distant. They never complain. Whenever anyone asks them out to lunch or drinks, they decline. The job is stressful, but they are competent. There is, however, one aspect to their personality that is a bit odd. On a handful of occasions, you've heard them become angry on the telephone, usually with a client, but sometimes with a coworker. Every time this happens, they calmly make the same threat. I'm going to kill you. This has happened at least 3 times, but the rest of their behavior is normal, even boring. You mention this behavior to another coworker, and that coworker provides an unexpected morsel of awesome office gossip. 10 years ago, the imagined person was arrested and charged with murder. A trial was held and they were found not guilty. 5 years later, it happened again. They were arrested and charged with another murder, but again, found not guilty. Do you assume this person is a murderer? Or do you assume this person's habit of threatening to kill people is the reason they keep getting wrongfully accused? What are your thoughts? Do you think they're doing it? Do you think just because they have this habit, people think they're doing it, and that's why they're... What do you think, Lucille?
Well, this person's interesting. It's like an urban legend kind of deal. I don't know. I would be keeping my eye open. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How bored am I? Because, you know, like right now, if I was working with that person and like I can't go anywhere or do anything... Maybe follow them around. Get some binoculars, dressed in black.
Yes, we could go all Goonies, like Hardy Boys style on this, and like get a big magnifying glass and start following around.
No,
that'd be amazing. I like this plan. I'm on board with you, Shirley. What do you think? Do you think they're doing it?
This may be suicide, but I would just roll up to this dude and be like, "Look, what's your deal? You've been arrested twice for murder, and you keep telling people you're going to kill them. Like, what's up?
Knock that shit off, kid.
Well, I feel like maybe if I do that, it will shock them out of saying it, and they'll at least be a little more conscientious and careful about it.
That's true.
I don't know. It's kind of dumb, but that's what I would do.
I think that's a valid thought. Bunny?
I don't know what... I would believe, but I know that I would definitely do my best to stay on that person's good side.
You are an angel sent from heaven.
That's why you're buddy. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink. Remember, you are not alone out there in how you feel. You are not the only one going through and feeling this crazy way. So please, please, please take care of yourself, talk with others, and listen to the podcast more. Join the Patreon. It'll make you a better person. Anyway, I'd like to thank my host today, Miss Shirley Temper. It was wonderful having you here.
It's the fucking Catalina wine mixer.
And Miss Lucille, it was wonderful. Thank you for taking the time out of your night to be here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, I'm so glad you made it and joined us tonight. I really appreciate that.
It was a pleasure as always.
As always. All right, my friends. Deep breaths, deep drinks. Cheers! Woo!
Yeah.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by our lovely friends at Patreon. So if you want to subscribe for as little as $5, you can get lots and lots of extra bonus episodes, and there's so much more content. We put stuff out almost every week at this point, and you can only hear it if you're a Patreon member. And so for $5, Teacher Needs a Drink Patreon, you can do it. I'd like to thank our guest from Ludlam Dramatics for sponsoring us, and of course my other co-host today, Miss Lucille Lane, Miss Bunny O'Hare, Miss Shirley Temper, and of course Miss Priscilla, who is by my side while I do all the editing and all this stuff. She's so patient with me. She is amazing. Anyway, my friends, please, please, please keep it up. Hold yourselves together. Remember, you are not alone out there in all of this. And if you haven't seen our PSA, it's all over our Facebook now, but make sure you put your oxygen mask and take care of yourself before tending to those around you. You are important and you matter, and what you're doing does make a difference, even if it doesn't feel like it in these batshit times. Okay, my friends, no Easter egg today, so after this, it's just gonna go silent, but cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Teacher Needs a Drink podcast, I would like to welcome you to the 2020-21 school year. Please make sure all personal emotions, familial needs, and health issues are stowed away in the rear compartment of your brain before logging on for the day. Failure to tuck this baggage away may result in an inability to achieve any progress. Once lessons have commenced, you are free to move about your mind and deal with any issues, but be warned that the size and type of your baggage may have shifted, and you risk collapse by exposing yourself to them at this time. There are 12 restrooms in this building. The 8 closest to you will be randomly closed for sanitation. Please consider this when thinking of intaking liquids or your nutrition of any form. Bathrooms are considered off-limits while giving any kind of instruction, so please plan any bodily evacuation accordingly. In the unlikely event that the internet or school software should go down, please notify the front office. We are told one of them should be back from lunch before too long. If you are teaching in person, please make sure you are aware of certain recent safety measures that the local government should have put in place while the lessons are progressing. In general, young humans are disgusting by nature, so these rules should be followed at all times, regardless of your political views or claimed IQ. Number 1. Masks that cover the mouth and nose should be worn at all times, even if the student is 6 feet away from another living creature. Number 2. All students should sanitize hands upon entering and exiting the classroom. Number 3. In the event that you should start feeling emotionally overwhelmed or an anxiety attack coming on, please make sure you put on your own personal oxygen mask and help yourself before tending to the needs of others. Teacher Needs a Drink podcast would like to once again thank you for continuing to work in the noblest of professions, regardless of pay, toxic positivity, and what the general public opinion of your position may be. We know you had many choices in professional careers, and we here at Teacher Needs a Drink podcast are ecstatic that you continue to attempt to educate the future of this world. We welcome the opportunity to listen, commune, cry, smile, and support you through this fucktangle of a year. Remember, you are not alone. Thank you again for listening to Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. Deep breaths, deep drinks.